Today on Annenberg Radio News.
So this is a really, really beautiful reward to be able to say, like, okay, I made it. I'm really part of this country.
Popular Mexican game show host Marco Antonio Regil talks about casting his first vote as an American citizen today. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 6, 2012, Election Day. I'm Josh Wu. We're just under 4 hours away from the polls closing here in California. Voters have been lining up throughout the day today around the city, outside churches, community centers, even garages. As Aaron Schrank reports, voters outside South LA polling station said it's been mostly smooth sailing.
A short line of voters outside a senior center south of Exposition Park chatted with neighbors and flipped through sample ballot cheat sheets as they waited to cast their votes. Most waited about 10 minutes.
It was pretty easy. The line was short. It only took me about 15 minutes total to stand in line, get my ballot, and vote. It was a quick process.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I didn't wait at all, actually. I just got in there and I was able to throw in my ballot.
Not all voters have been so lucky today. The LA Times reported that at Trinity High School in South LA, poll workers had ballots but no voting machines. Some waited an hour before leaving without casting a vote. And KPCC reported two-hour waits at Tom Bradley Center in Mid-City. Proposition 30 drove many young voters to the polls today, like Jared Ochoa.
Just because it affects, you know, public schools very directly. If the proposition doesn't pass, there's going to be a whole bunch of budget cuts and stuff like that. So that's the most, I think, the proposition that affects me the most.
Ochoa is a UCLA student and a Guatemalan immigrant who became a citizen this year.
So this is my first presidential election, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Andrea Manzano is most concerned with the presidential race and the impact it could have on health care. Her 8-week-old son had open-heart surgery on the day he was born.
I even left my newborn to come vote because I know it's his future.
Michael White showed up to vote, but found out he was at the wrong polling place.
But I just found out I got to go to 100 yards from here. So that ain't far, around the corner, the high school across the street.
His biggest concern on the ballot today?
37, you know, because I'm a vegan. So I'm voting, you know, for the food to be labeled. That's my number one proposition.
If Prop 37 passes, California would become the first state in the nation to require food manufacturers to label genetically modified food. 2 miles north of a Catholic church, Alex Kaplan had no weight at all. He said he cast a vote against Proposition 34, the nail-biter ballot measure that would end the death penalty in California.
I'm not persuaded by the cost savings argument of that. I don't think that's the case because you're going to be paying for life imprisonment either way.
While voters continue to line up around the country, some waiting for hours, first-timers here in South L.A. gave a thumbs up to the in-person electoral process.
It was a simple process. I hadn't voted in person before, more mail-in ballot type of thing, so I was happy to be able to do that well, and I enjoyed it.
California polling places will stay open until 8 o'clock tonight. Aaron Schrank, Annenberg Radio News.
And thanks to Evan Budrovich for his help with this story. And now, while many votes have already been cast either by mail or in person, hundreds of volunteers are still knocking on doors to find those last-minute voters. Reporter Molly Gray caught up with one of these canvassers in Linwood.
With close races on the line, voter turnout can make all the difference on Election Day. Proposition 30, Governor Brown's tax initiative, is so close, it isn't expected to be called until late into the night. And that's why volunteers across the Southland have been spending all day canvassing neighborhoods to encourage voters to head to the polls.
My name is Sequoia Crandall. I'm a student at Cal State LA, and I'm volunteering here with Good Jobs LA.
Crandall has been knocking doors since 6 a.m. this morning to gather support for Prop 30 and to encourage a no vote on Prop 32. 32 would ban businesses and unions from using payroll deductions to donate to political campaigns. I tagged along for a few blocks while Crandall tried her luck on Carlin Avenue.
About how many houses do you knock on before you get somebody to answer?
One in five.
One in five?
One in five. Around this time, yes, because everyone's at work.
We struck out at every house around 11 this morning. But Crandall says she caught dozens of voters as they were heading out to work.
If you were here earlier this morning, there was a huge line outside the church. It was cars backed up here, going this way. And then just people were just lined up to come vote.
While it might seem like canvassing is scraping the bottom of the bucket, studies show it can have a significant impact on voter turnout. In 1999, Caltech researchers found that canvassing increases overall turnout by 6%. Additionally, among people who were actually contacted by volunteers, participation jumped by nearly 12%. Crandall plans on hitting 4 or 5 different precincts today. The most common question? Where am I supposed to vote?
A lot of people didn't know that their polling place was right here, so I kind of helped them.
Most of all, Crandall said her hope is to get the community involved in making political decisions.
Yeah, if you take the effort to knock on doors and then you see all these voters coming out to vote, and you know that they're voting yes on 30 and no on 32, it gives you a good feeling, like, you know, we're not out here for nothing.
Either way, she'll be out until polls close at 8 p.m. tonight. Molly Gray, Annenberg Radio News.
And now Neon Tommy's Matt Pressburg and I talk national numbers, Senate races, and ballot issues across the states.
Good that I've done all this live TV stuff.
Well, we're recording whenever you...
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
All right.
We'll just wait for the door to close.
And we'll get going.
All right, so, and it's Matt Pressburg, right?
It is.
All right, so Matt, with Neon Tommy, so you guys obviously are all over this election as much as we are. What on the national level should we be looking
all
at?
Right. The first thing we want to look for on the national level is Ohio, Virginia, and Florida. Those states are going to come in pretty early. We should know through exit polling probably about 4 or 5 o'clock tonight. We should have a pretty good idea of what to expect from there. And with the maps we've done, the winner of Ohio has been getting a lot of attention. But if Barack Obama wins Virginia, that's it. There's really no Romney map that's plausible in any way. So if we win Virginia, you'll see on TV people will try to color other states red, but that's just kind of wishful thinking. So Virginia's kind of the one. If that shoe drops, that's it.
I see. As far as the ballot measures go, the different propositions in California, what on that front?
Sure. Proposition 30 is a big one. We've seen all Jerry Brown's recent ad campaign, a lot of TV commercials, and a lot of commercials against it, too, for Prop 38. That one is very close. We're not sure if that's going to pass. It's the kind of thing that the California voters generally like. They like school funding, and they're not really averse to raising taxes on the wealthiest. But then you get, you know, people come in the booth, they see it as a tax increase, they see a lot of the commercials, and they're just not sure, and they really don't trust Sacramento. So the message that the other people have sent, Prop 38, is that 38 is going to go directly to the schools, and 30 is going to go through the general fund, which then funnels to the schools. And so they're basically saying that it's going to be another grab bag for Sacramento politicians.
Gotcha. And you've done a little coverage of measures in other states as well, correct?
A little bit. We've done a little bit. There's the gay marriage initiative that's on a few states. It's in Maryland and Maine. Those are the two big ones. Those are both likely to pass, actually. And the Maryland one's interesting because Maryland has a big Catholic and African-American population, which have not historically been out front on that issue. But with the president's recent endorsement and some high-profile church leaders, local politicians out there, it looks pretty likely to pass. Maine is more of a natural constituency for that, and we think Maine will probably pass by a significant margin.
I see. But it won't all become moot if, say, Romney were to win the election, would it?
I mean, it's hard to say. It's really hard to say how powerful Romney would be, if Romney would push back on that, or if this is kind of an issue where we'd have moderate Mitt flipping back and not wanting to offend kind of a national zeitgeist that seems to be, you know, irrevocably towards that direction of supporting marriage equality.
Gotcha. Okay. And you guys are still... your main website is back up after.
It's back up. We had some issues. We were with Hurricane Sandy, so it did touch us as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not to that degree, but our server was underground in Lower Manhattan, and we were off for a few days. But we are back up neontommy.com, and we'll be having live coverage throughout the day, late at night tomorrow.
I almost said, thank goodness you're not operating out of that Tumblr anymore. But I guess
that's okay. We don't mind.
I guess it did the job.
It did the job. Not the prettiest website. Not the most aesthetically pleasing. I would hope that it wasn't anybody's first visit to Neon Tommy. Tumblr, but it looks better now.
All right, good to hear. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.
And as the election cools off tonight, so do tonight's temperatures. Expect a low tonight of 57. Tomorrow, another hot one, bright and sunny with a high of 75. Thursday marks the beginning of a weekend cool down with temperatures in the mid-60s throughout. The L.A. County Registrar's Office reports just over 40% of the 3.7 million registered voters in the county had voted by airtime today.
12% of those cast their votes between 7 and 8 this morning. And numbers are expected to spike as people vote on their way home from work before polls close at 7. 700,000 have voted by mail, but the turnout is expected to be slightly below 2008's. After the break, we look at the increasing importance of the Asian American vote. And now, Kat Boza takes us to the sounds and heart of Cotillon's Joseph Corso.
For being such a relatively new band, Cotillion has made their mark on Los Angeles both with fans through their live performances and with local critics. I'm speaking today with Jordan Corso, who is the lead singer for the group. So Votiflower is your first release. You wrote the songs pretty much all on your own.
Well, I would say definitely the lyrics I had written all on my own, but I'd say the people that know me could probably kind of decipher what means what in each song, and they all kind of have a personal attachment to the music. So initially I had a lot of friends who were very supportive and surprised. My brother was my main support during what was a difficult breakup. I mean, to be honest, it's a breakup record, so he knew pretty much all the details inside and out.
One of those personal songs on the record, or on the EP, is The Devil Lives on Lyman, which I know is about that breakup that you mentioned. Can you talk about that song a little bit? Because it is kind of an intense song masked in this very happy sort of packaging.
There were some things happening in my life post-breakup that were bothering me. So I did it on my own with no intentions of anybody actually ever hearing it to even share something like that. I was a bit insecure about the la la la's in that song. I thought maybe it could have come off a bit corny.
You mentioned earlier people like Connor Oberst and Daniel Johnston, who write these very emotional, very personal songs about their own life. Why are you sort of drawn to that kind of songwriting as a musician and just as someone who really appreciates music?
A lot of it, I really like the intelligence behind the writing. I was kind of a music fan from the beginning. I was someone that was really drawn to lyricism. And I had written poetry as well.
What do you think is sort of the quintessential Cotillion song?
I would say, like, I kind of, like, truly kind of have an equal opinion on every song. Like, I do definitely care about all of them. And the song that really gets me going when we perform is Votiflower 2. It kind of, in a lot of ways, is a record in itself.
When someone comes to see Cotillion play live, what do you hope that they get away from that experience?
Well, I mean, obviously I would like people to enjoy it. Just provoking feelings in people, I'd say. Because in a lot of ways, I know that people aren't listening to the full EP. They'll maybe listen to one or two songs and be like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. I'd like to check them out. So I kind of look at it as my shot. I still kind of take it one person at a time, where, like, if someone told me that it had affected them, it would go really far.
Jordan, thank you.
Thanks for Andrea. There's still time.
And And thanks to Jordan Corso for spending time with us. Stay tuned tonight for continuing election coverage this evening. And although you might have heard more about the youth or Latino vote this election cycle, the Asian American vote is increasingly important and hard to predict. But Daniel Ichinose of the Asian American Legal Center says you can't downplay the Asian community's impact on election results.
Asian Americans have been growing faster than any other racial group nationally and in the state of California for the past two decades.
And they vote.
Over the past several election cycles, the numbers of Asian Americans who have been going to the polls have been breaking records. And we expect that record numbers of Asian Americans will be going to the polls today.
But just like the Latino demographic, the Asian American community includes a diverse number of minority groups. Even so, there's one issue many Asian voters have in common.
One of the last polls that we did showed overwhelming support among Asian Americans for universal health care. It's interesting because even among ethnic groups, we see that among groups like Vietnamese or Cambodians, these are folks who are disproportionately Republican, and yet when it comes to issues that affect our communities, this one in particular, they were among the most likely of Asian American ethnic groups to be supportive of initiatives to improve health care and coverage for our communities.
Ichinose says more than 300,000 Asians voted in California in 2008. With a similar turnout expected today, politicians ignore the Asian vote at their own peril. He hosts the Spanish-language version of game show Minute to Win It, and today he cast his first vote as an American citizen. I spoke to Marco Antonio Regil about his first ever American election. So for someone who gives away cash and prizes on a fairly frequent basis, it almost feels like you won a big prize yourself today.
That's a really good way of putting it, and completely, because since I was a kid growing up by the border in Tijuana, San Diego, I dreamt about coming to the U.S. and working here and getting into the entertainment business here in this country. And, it took me a long time. It was 10 years from the time I got the working visa. But before that, it was many years of dreaming about it, learning the language. So for me, it's I did get really emotional the day I became a citizen, because it's different when you're born in a country than when you work so hard to become a citizen of a country. I don't know if I can explain the difference, but I achieved this with a lot of work.
So what then does voting in this country mean to you?
Well, it means that I can be a part of the decisions that are being made. I think the U.S. is a wonderful country, and I think there's many other areas where the U.S. can come back and be the leader in the world. And I care a lot about, you know, alternative energies, ways of living where we're not contaminating the planet, and equal rights for every single human being, regardless of their sex or sexual preference or race. And, you know, I'm also into animal rights and to many other things. I consider myself a very progressive kind of person. So living in Southern California, I resonate a lot with the way people think here. And now that I can vote, I can support the initiatives that are going towards the place that I think we should go.
How different was your experience voting in Mexico versus your experience voting here?
Well, that's a really good question. It's a completely different thing. In Mexico, we've had clean elections for the last 18 years only. And before that, we had a party that ruled the country for 60 years and, you know, was well known. There was fraud after fraud. And when we finally got an electoral bureau, which is independent from the government, and elections became clean in Mexico, it was amazing. But still nowadays, when you go to vote down there, there's a lot of eyes. There's cameras. There's representatives from every single party. There's international observers. So everyone is making sure that nobody's going to steal the box with all the votes and all of that. So there's a lot of eyes in there. There's exit polls. And actually, the results are giving officially the same night of the voting. So they came up with a very, very modern system for handling votes. So the feeling down there is that there's a lot of eyes taking care that none of the things that were traditional in the past happen again. And now that I went and voted here, it was a completely relaxed atmosphere. Like, everyone is, like, trusting the system. You know, there's not a lot of – I didn't see any representative from any party there. It was a very relaxed thing. Like, I don't feel the tension that I feel in Mexico. There's not so much triple-checking that everything is fine.
Now, as for the actual vote itself, I noticed on your page you voted for Obama and then yes on props 37 and 38, correct?
Yeah, I definitely went for President Obama. That was my first vote. And yeah, 37 is the one with the GMOs. I strongly believe that we as citizens, we deserve the right to know if there's any genetically modified foods or ingredients in the foods we're buying. And I strongly believe that we should know.
I see. So when you submitted that ballot, how did you feel afterwards?
Yep. I felt amazing. I think the picture that I took of myself when they gave me the sticker that I'm still wearing that said I voted, it says it all. I just, you know, took the sticker on my thumb and I took my picture with the phone and I was just so happy. You know, like that was like the crown or let's say it in a game show language, the prize, the big prize of so many years of working hard to get my citizenship. 10 years living in the U.S., but before living here and before getting my first working visa, it was about 4 or 5 years learning the language or learning whatever I can learn in Mexico and negotiating to be able to get a job offer in the U.S. and start transferring my career from Mexico to the U.S. So this is a really, really beautiful reward to be able to say, like, okay, I made it. I'm really part of this country. I can vote now. I can openly speak about the issues that I care for, and I can be an active citizen that is also aiming, like anyone else, for the best of this country.
Marco Antonio Regil is the host of Minuto para Ganar on Mundo Fox. It's Channel 22 here in Los Angeles. Marco, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Josh. I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you for having me, and congratulations to all the citizens that, like myself, went out there and voted today.
And tune in at 6 tonight for news from the Republican and Democratic Party election night headquarters and live in-studio chat here on ARN. Today, USC President C.L. Max Nikias revealed new security procedures in the wake of a Halloween shooting on campus. 4 people were injured outside the Halloween party, but neither the shooter nor his victims go to the school. From now on, outside event promoters will be banned from hosting parties in university facilities and on the fraternity row. Eventually, the school's Department of Public Safety officers will check the ID of anyone entering campus between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. In addition, campus access will be limited to students, faculty, staff, and their guests during those hours. Also on campus, a new scientific center devoted to the study of music and its effects on the brain opened today here at USC. Phoebe Unterman reports.
It doesn't sound like your typical neuroscience lab, but that's because it isn't typical. Opening today, the USC Brain and Creativity Institute, or BCI, combines science and music by placing labs with brain scanning equipment side by side a performance space in their new facility. USC President C.L. Max Nikias spoke at the ribbon-cutting ceremony this afternoon.
Its state-of-the-art auditorium will accommodate lectures, demonstrations, and world-class arts performances, all contributing to our understanding of the brain.
One of the BCI's current research projects tracks LA Phil youth orchestra students, seeing how intense music training affects their brain development. Their other research explores how the brain processes emotions and generates feelings. The 20,000 square foot space is located in the Dornsife Neuroscience Pavilion on USC's University Park campus. Phoebe Unterman, Annenberg Radio News.
And from 6 to midnight, join us for live in-studio discussion of the candidates and the issues with Max Schwartz, plus all the latest election results. And from Annenberg Television News, we have Kristen Rogers to give us the evening's TV highlights. Kristen?
Thanks, Josh. Coming up on ATVN, we have Dr. Michael Jackson, the Vice President of USC Student Affairs, live in studio to talk to us about the new campus safety policies. Mayor Villagrosa cast his ballot this morning. Find out what he said about today's election. And we caught up with students on campus rocking I Voted stickers. All this and more at 6.
And that does it for us from this Tuesday. We had help today from Kat Boza, Evan Budrovich, Molly Gray, Phoebe Unterman, and Sam Weiser. Thanks also to ATVN for its help. Melissa Reynolds is our producer, and our executive producer is Aaron Schrenk. Be sure to stay with us until 6 o'clock for more election coverage. From all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Josh Wu. We'll see you in a couple of hours.